from 90.1 WFYI Public Radio, welcome to The Art of the Matter, made possible by the ongoing support of listeners like you.
Hello and welcome to The Art of the Matter. I'm Sharon Gamble. The music for today's show is courtesy of the Buscelli Wallerap Jazz Orchestra from their Heart and Soul album, available through Owl Studios at owlstudios.com.
And I'm Travis DiNicola. Today, I'll get a preview of the upcoming Indianapolis Sister Cities Festival.
I'll get to talk with conductor and composer Richard Alden Clark about his two new CDs.
And I'll find out about the new Lawrence Arts Center. Plus, there'll be our arts calendar we call.
What'll we do? All that and more right after the latest news from NPR. This year, Indy's hosting the first Sister City Festival, a large public street festival at the city market which will showcase our sister cities. There'll be food and entertainment and information about, are you ready, our eight sister cities. Travis DiNicola spoke with Kyle Long to find out more.
Kyle Long, great to have you in our studio. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thank you for inviting me. I appreciate it.
I feel like I need to put the letters DJ in front of your name every time I talk to you, because I'm so used to, for years, just thinking of DJ Kyle Long.
Yeah.
DJ Kyle Long. I mean, you're a super well-known and excellent DJ in the city.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
And I think some people think my name is DJ, so.
I wonder. Yeah. It's like, what's it? You know, DJ. Yeah. But you are not here actually today exactly in the capacity of a DJ. Though maybe in some ways you are. So we're talking about the Sister City Festival, first time that the city has done this. And my question for you is, how did a DJ get involved with helping to plan essentially an event that sort of celebrates international cities and
sure.
our city? Yeah.
Well, I participated. Last year there was sort of a trial version of the Sister Cities Festival, and I was asked by a gentleman named Raju Chintala to spin music during between the performers. How I got involved is through Raju. I'm sort of, I guess it's weird to say, but I'm kind of like known in the Indian community because I work a lot with Indian music.
Well, you do the Hollywood Bhangra, Bollywood Bhangra.
Yeah.
You know, that's an ongoing series. I know you and Archer Silver have done that. And mm-hmm. so, sure. I mean, sort of within the Indian community, mm-hmm. I mean, you're kind of like the...
So, yeah, Raju is connected.
The cool DJ in town
sure,
for that. Yeah.
Raju's connected with Mayor Ballard, and he's mm-hmm. on a million committees. And as they were planning the festival last year, he just insisted to everyone that they had to have me there, because he was aware that I not only worked with Indian music, but also had a knowledge of music traditions from around the world. And he was just very demanding that they get me involved.
That's very cool.
Yeah. So it went well, and they appreciated the contribution I made. And also, I think they've been... I also do some writing. I do a weekly column in Nuvo called Cultural Manifesto, where mm-hmm. I kind of investigate different international... musicians and things that are happening in the city here that connect with that theme. So they'd been monitoring this series of articles that I do, and they just, I guess, felt like I was the right person to kind of put together the entertainment for the festival.
That's, I think a great choice on their part, too. I mean, often, sometimes you sort of hear about these festivals and you think, you know, does anyone who knows anything about the culture or the music mm-hmm. or whatever, are they a part of this or not? And it's excellent that they've reached out to you to be a part of it. Okay, so now the big question is, I know that there are eight sister cities mm-hmm. for Indianapolis. Yeah. I cannot name them, but can you?
Yeah, if you're patient with me, there's Piran, Slovenia, Monza, Italy, Northamptonshire, in the UK. We got Campinas, Brazil, Taipei, Taiwan, Hangzhou, China, and I'm missing one, which is.
I'm kind of impressed though, just with that.
I think it's. I always forget one, but before the end of the interview, I'll probably shout it out.
No problem. We can get back to that. So is the idea basically, so each of these sister cities that over the years have developed these relationships with Indianapolis, this is basically a festival to celebrate their food, their culture, their music, their art, I mean, sort of introduce
exactly,
Indy to these
yeah.
cities?
It's a chance for each country, it's Hyderabad, India. That's the eighth one. But each one of these countries has representatives here who, you know, immigrants who live in the community, and they're on hand, and they're there to share their culture. That's why
from
they're
India,
there.
From India, from China,
sure,
from England.
Yeah.
Sure, okay.
Yeah, even Slovenia will have, like, a dispatch here with a little booth and food and some representation of their culture for people to try. There's also going to be a sports park, and each country is going to, you know, offer a different national sport for
cool.
everyone to try out. But, yeah, it is a chance just for people to come out and, you know, learn about this program and get exposed to some new music and new food and new culture.
So this is taking place on Saturday the 15th, noon to 6 at the City Market. Basically free admission.
Yes, free admission.
Okay. So how did you go about figuring out what musical acts to book, and how did you find them?
Yeah.
I mean, where'd you find a Slovenian act?
Well,
you know, or, I mean.
Well, we made the decision early on that we weren't going to limit ourselves to having corresponding acts to each city.
Okay.
And we're just going with, like, a broader sort of international theme. But I am excited that the headline group does connect two of the host countries, I guess, Delhi to Dublin.
Delhi to Dublin.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They're a group from Canada. They play a fusion of Bhangra music, which is this fantastic North Indian party music with lots of drums, and it's very exciting music. And they mix that with Celtic music, Celtic violins.
Wow.
It's, when I first heard of this concept, I thought it sounded awful, but...
And hold on, it's a group out of Canada doing this.
Yeah,
too,
I know.
Which makes it more fun.
That made me a little more skeptical. And, you know, I thought it sounded awful, but a friend of mine in Chicago, who's a DJ, Jimmy Singh, works with Indian music, and he just kept recommending this band to me. He said, you have to have them come and play. So we had them out last year,
okay.
And it was one of the most sensational live performances I've ever seen. People were literally weeping, and they're in ecstasy. So
okay.
It was unbelievable. So when this opportunity came up to partner with the Office of International Affairs and the Sister Cities Festival, and I started looking at the date and looking at Delhi to Dublin's calendar, I was like, this just has to happen. They're just the perfect band for this event.
That's pretty cool. So I'm still trying to, like, imagine what this music sounds like, but it's pretty fast paced, I think. I mean,
it
like
is.
Just like get up and dance and move.
It
and...
is. It's there's elements of electronic music mixed in, although it's all live music. There's two violin players, a tabla player, a dhol player. The dhol is sort of the basic instrument of Bhangra. It's this huge double-headed drum that's very loud. And their dhol player is probably the best dhol player in North America. He's just unbelievably great. So, yeah, they have a sitar player as well and a guitarist. So, yeah, it is live, but there's electronic music sort of blended in. So it's really high energy and really fast-paced and super fun.
Very cool. Now, is all this fair going to be outside the City Market,
it
or
is.
Will part be inside? Or
I think there might be. There's going to be so much going on that day, and I think one or two elements of the event might be inside the City Market.
Okay. But mainly, like doing outside. One of the big stages outside.
Mm-hmm.
And what's some of the other entertainment that you've got
sure.
lined up?
There's most of the other entertainers are local, and there's a really great group here in Indianapolis called Pasión Huasteca, and they play. A very unique type of Mexican folk music called huapango or son jarocho. And this is personally my favorite type of Mexican music. This is the tradition of music that the song La Bamba came from. And
okay.
it's very beautiful, very different from like mariachi music or some of the popular, contemporary popular forms of Mexican music people have heard. So I'm really excited. They just moved here from California and they're just sort of getting their feet on the ground here in Indianapolis, so I'm excited to introduce this band to people at this festival. So that's one. Sweet Poison Victim, who are a very fun local group led by Kwesi Brown. He has a PhD in ethnomusicology, and he's sort of a master drummer from Ghana. And he started this band with a bunch of young kids, and they play this really fun mix of African music, R&B, rock, hip-hop. It's just this crazy.
Give me the name of the band again.
Sweet Poison Victim.
Got it, okay.
And it's named after this really nasty bootleg Ghanaian alcohol that the Kwesi carries around everywhere he goes. So.
Dude, where do you find these people? It's great. I mean, you know yourself such a great knowledge of all types of music. It's always fun. I mean, hearing you talk about it and stuff. But but where do you have an opportunity to find a lot of these musicians? I mean,
it's my life. You know, I love music, and now that I've been given an opportunity to sort of pursue it as a career, I just immerse myself in it constantly. So, you know, I'm out
just going out to
trolling
clubs
around
and bars,
on the west side,
and
just looking for interesting things and searching for things online. So it's just a constant pursuit for me to, and I, you know, it's like I get so much excitement finding these things here, especially in our community. Mm-hmm. It's really fun to see happening in Indianapolis.
Cool. What's other things that are going on during the Sister City Festival?
Like I said, they have a sports park where throughout the day, different international sports will be featured, like cricket. I think the Brazilians are doing capoeira. So there will be a lot of unique sports.
And food.
And right. food as right. well. There will be food. You know, it's the typical festival stuff.
Yeah. Now, what about you? Are you going to be spinning anything yourself that day?
Yeah, between bands, again, I will be jumping on the turntables and just trying to keep the atmosphere lively.
Nice.
My co-partner, Artur, also in Cultural Cannibals, Artur Silva, designed a very beautiful print for the festival as well, which incorporates a little element from each of these cities, so people might want to check that out as well.
So Kyle, I mean, obviously the Sister City Festival is kind of going to be the place to go on Saturday the 15th to check out really interesting international bands, some local, some not, but give us a heads up of where are other really cool places in town to check out interesting new music. What are you finding? I mean, you mentioned the West Side and stuff, but
there's a couple venues on the West Side that feature really unique Latin artists on a weekly basis, major artists, huge superstars in the Latin music scene, and it's just a real fun experience checking out these clubs. One is called El Venue, and it's actually a flea market that used to be a Value City department store, and at night they operate it as a nightclub. And there's also Chispas, which is basically across the street from the service center on Lafayette Road, if people are familiar with the service center.
Sure, big car service center, absolutely.
And they have they feature all types of Latin and Mexican music at these clubs, from, you know, really new wave contemporary electronic music to very traditional cumbia, which is a sort of a folk music. And you never know what you're going to see. So that's one of my most favorite places to check out.
Excellent, good advice. Thanks for the heads up on that. Well, I wish you best of luck with the Sister City Festival. It sounds like it's just going to be a ton of fun.
Yeah, I really recommend people come around 4 o'clock. That's when Delhi to Dublin will be performing. And actually, Irish Fest is the same day. And, you know, if you're planning to check out Irish Fest, you know, our festival is free. You should, on your way there, just stop by.
Hit Delhi to Dublin at 4, and then afterwards roll over to Irish Fest at Military Park. Yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah, so I hope all the Irish Fest fans come and check this band out, because they'll be blown away. Yeah, they'll be blown away.
Cool. And hey, before I let you go, where can we see you performing coming up anytime soon?
Yeah, you stumped me with that question. I mean, the events we do with Artur and I do with Cultural Cannibals are so sporadic at times that I forget where I'm playing.
Check out the Cultural Cannibals website for the most recent updates and stuff.
Exactly. I'll be at Broad Ripple Music Fest coming up. I do know that.
Nice. Okay.
And check the website and
culturalcannibals.com. Okay. DJ Kyle Long, great to have you on our show. Thanks so much for coming in today.
Yeah, thank you so much for inviting me. I appreciate it.
Travis DiNicola with Kyle Long. The Sister City Festival takes place on Saturday, September 15th from noon to 6 at the City Market. You're listening to The Art of the Matter on WFYI 90.1 FM Public Radio.
Butler faculty member Richard Alden Clark is one of the youngest conductors ever to appear on the stage of Carnegie Hall. Fervent proponent of American music, Mr. Clark has conducted more than 100 world premiere performances and has more than 30 CD recordings in his rapidly expanding discography. And he's a violist and composer, too. Sharon Gamble invited Richard in to learn more about his two new CDs, that's two new CDs, and what's in store for the Butler Symphony Orchestra this year.
So it seems you're not busy enough just conducting, just being a violist, just doing gigs all over the country and the world. You're composing more now. I want to talk first about, I want to talk about Trail of Tears and other chamber works, but I want to talk about a performance and conducting gig that resulted in a new CD. Talk to me about your relationship with Kurt Vonnegut. You are not a native Hoosier.
I'm not.
But do you remember your first encounter with a Vonnegut book?
Oh, that was in high school.
Which one?
Slaughterhouse-Five. And I fell in love with Kurt Vonnegut.
Why? What did you like?
You know, he has a rebellious nature, And even when he's telling you the most simplest of things, there's a sarcasm to it, a cynicism to it, that I think every teenager feels about everything. And it just struck a chord with me, and I became a Vonnegut fanatic. I was lucky to meet him when I was living in New York City, years later, after have read everything he wrote, and knew that he lived on the Upper East Side of Manhattan. Well, I call it the Upper East Side, but near the UN.
Mm-hmm.
And this work fell into my hands by accident. A member of my chamber orchestra was working for RCA, BMG. Kurt had met somebody on jury duty, said he rewrote the Requiem Mass. Yeah, Kurt Vonnegut did jury duty. I promise you he
that.
Did. And he was proud of it. He met a composer who was more in the pop field, and the composer said, let me write the Requiem for you. So he said, absolutely. That was Kurt. You know, he was such a creative, free spirit. Well, the Requiem, unfortunately, was a disaster because this composer was really not an orchestral composer. And to my good fortune, every conductor and every symphony orchestra that it was offered to turned it down because it was not a good piece. So the person from RCA said, look, you're crazy about Vonnegut. Do this piece. I said, well, without even asking if it's a good piece or even wanting to see it, I said, well, I get to meet Kurt Vonnegut. And they said, yes, done. Well, the piece was a disaster, but...
Why? Can you say more about that?
It was
badly orchestrated?
So poorly written, and it just rambled on and on and on, sort of like I do. But it just didn't have the substance that suited the words. Kurt's Requiem was brilliant.
Yeah.
And luckily, Kurt was at the performance. The whole first half was all American music, which is my specialty, and he loved the concert. So a few days after the concert, he called me, and he said, you know, I loved the first half of the concert, but my piece was terrible. What happened? And I told him right out the truth. I didn't mix words with it. And he said, wow, you know, that was pretty negative. And so he invited me over to his brownstone, and I spent a few hours with him talking. I said, let me bring composers to you. And
really?
Of course, one of
you
those
got to
projects,
be matchmaker between Kurt Vonnegut and composers.
And we did many projects. I mean, this CD is my favorite, but there are many. There's a Barab redoing of the Requiem, which is the Cosmos Cantata, Seymour Barab. There's a Dave Soldier Story, and Ice Nine Ballads from Cat's Cradle. And then this wonderful Breakfast of Champions and Mother Night, which was Kurt's favorite as well, though he never heard the finished product.
Aww.
He only heard the live performance with somebody else reading his part, because he would not perform live with an orchestra.
Because?
He would give speeches. He was a wonderful entertainer, you know, when he spoke, but he always said, I'm not a performer. I will not do it. And he didn't want to have to be in time with an orchestra, and he never would have sang live in front of an audience,
sure,
you know, and he pops out a few phrases here singing, which was just so wonderful and special. But he never would have done that for a live audience.
So what is the hardest part about, I mean, Vonnegut was a writer, not a musician. Words were his materials. What is it like? Is it difficult? And if so, what's difficult about trying to bring to life in music something that was originally words?
Well, you know, he was really funny. He always said, well, you know, my work is done. I've already created this piece. I wrote it. Now it takes on another life. So he didn't micromanage, he didn't criticize, and he didn't make demands on anything. But he loved music. He went to the opera a lot. He went to the symphony a lot. He came to many of my concerts.
Huh.
He would just show up. He'd be at a concert, and I would be blown away that he was there.
Did it make you nervous?
No, because I never knew about it till it was over.
Good.
I used to always tell him he was a performer. He was an actor. Because of the way he read these words, you can tell there's that performer spirit to him. But he gave us free run with everything we did. He really believed that his creation of the work was finished, and now it would take on many other forms. But we were very nervous touching anything he wrote, or changing anything, or leaving out a sentence here or there, you know, editing, you know,
of
how
course.
Do you edit Vonnegut?
Yeah.
But, you know, Kurt and I were working on a libretto for the opera right up to the time he died. We had just finished the libretto to Happy Birthday, Wanda June. In fact, Valentine's Day, as a little joke, he sent me a priority mail package. He rewrote the end of the opera. And was a little note there, certified, a public, you know, accountant there, how you certify something.
Notarized,
giving me the rights to it. I called him to thank him. We were going to talk again in a couple of weeks in March, and he took his fall, and I never got to speak to him again.
Man.
But the opera's not yet written. It's a huge undertaking. But when we were working on the libretto, I had to sit and try to edit Vonnegut and say, there's too many words here. Can we remove this line? And, you know, he would pretend to get angry about it, or, oh, you can't cut that. That's the essence of the whole speech, you know? And of course, every time he would do that, I would fall for it, hook, line, and sinker, and be afraid
so
that I
naive.
Violated it. Oh, yeah. Oh, he was great. And he loved to pull pranks like that. Or he would just close the book and say, that's it. You killed it. We're not doing it.
You know? But clearly, to have that kind of jovial give and take, there's a native trust level. He trusted you.
I truly loved him like a grandfather, and he, for some odd reason, just treated me like somebody very special to him, like a family member in a way. And I don't know why, because I saw him on many occasions be very cold with people or distant or protective. And all the times I spent with him alone, visiting him at the brownstone or mm-hmm. talking libretto, I never saw him be protective in any way, or not to be very open and revealing his personal life and talking about things. You know, he speaks of his mother's suicide in this in Breakfast of Champions. You actually hear his voice crack when he read it. Mm. The very first time he did it, he stumbled over the words, and I couldn't use that take, and I had to ask Kurt to reread that line. And
hard,
I felt
this
fear, this ice cold, how do I ask him to say that again? And he read it again, and it was so beautiful. I had tears in my eyes, but we didn't say another word for a bit, and then we went on and read more. You know, I just wanted
sure.
to give him that space.
Yeah.
So I think he felt that I gave him a lot of respect, but I was also very open with him, very sensitive with him, and I was bringing my musical art to him. Great thing about sitting and having conversations with him, I always wanted to pick his brain. I was shocked that he was always asking me questions about music and wanting to know my opinion of things. And I'm sitting there going, okay, I'm nothing. You're this amazing man. You've influenced millions of people. You're beloved around the world. And you're asking me what I think about something. I mean, that's the kind of man he was. He made you feel better than you were.
Well, it's also a sign that a good artist never stops growing.
Oh, he was always thinking. He was always creating. He was always inventive and original and wonderful.
Now let's talk about your voice as a composer and conductor and performer in Trail of Tears and other chamber works. Why these works together? What's the connecting theme?
There was not a connecting theme for this album. The whole idea was started with Trail of Tears, and though it's not the title track, it was originally meant to be the very first one on the album,
mm-hmm.
but it's too dark and too grating right from the beginning to start an album with. There is a strong Vonnegut theme here, though. I never knew about the Trail of Tears when I was a student in high school. We skipped that moment in history. I never knew about the Native Americans and how they were treated by our government until Kurt Vonnegut introduced me to Howard Zinn, who I was very fortunate to meet by telephone and talk with and carry on conversations for long, all because of Kurt. And it was through Howard Zinn that I read about the Trail of Tears. And I was so moved and so beset with guilt and grief and horror that I wrote the Trail of Tears. The very first track for The Ones We Have Lost, I wrote about a week after Kurt Vonnegut died. And so that's for him.
Okay.
The other pieces, Crucified Planet comes from a phrase in Vonnegut's poem, Requiem, the crucified planet Earth. And so I do the last movement is what he changed the title to, Adios, basically the last thing he wrote, saying goodbye. So that is the last track on that album. But the oboe miniatures and the flute miniatures were just inspirations that I had, and also thinking, this whole album is way too dark. Lighten up and do something beautiful.
I have to say, there are some very somber moments.
Yeah.
Beautiful, but somber.
One of my board members for the Finger Lakes Festival said to me, Richard, you're such a happy, jovial guy.
Where'd this come from?
This album is dark. But you know, it's like with Vonnegut, too. His writing's very dark. There's a lot of humor. There are incredible moments, and you chuckle in that, but at other times, you're just heartbroken by the simplicity of the horrors he talks about. And I think that below the surface of all the happiness, that, you know, I mean, I feel great about conducting and performing, and I love my students, and I couldn't be a happier person. But with the literature I've read and the people I've been exposed to, and, you know, how can you put on 2 minutes of the news and not be heartbroken? And I think they express themselves in, you know, you're not going to walk around like a sad sack all your life, but I think it definitely permeates that, the most personal thing you put out there. For me, that's what I write. My music is sad.
And the ability to be happy while knowing all the sadness in the world is rare.
But it's a necessity, because how can you walk out and make such great music happen if you're always feeling like a victim? You know, I think we feel like victims too often, and we need to pick ourselves up. And I think Kurt was a great example of that in his writing, because there were always incredibly wonderful things that happened, and funny things, and such brilliant insight. And as I said, from my teenage years, I just became so inspired by him, because it's almost like he gave you permission as a kid to feel all this conflict, all this irony, all this absolute ridiculous extremes that the human condition is. And I think my psychiatrist would have to agree, Vonnegut made me feel normal. And God bless him for it.
Sharon Gamble with Richard Alden Clark. You can learn more at manhattanchamberorchestra.org. Again, manhattanchamberorchestra.org. Or, of course, you can go to butler.edu. And here is an excerpt from Maestro Clark's new CD, Trail of Tears and Other Chamber Works. It's For the Ones We Have Lost. Maestro Clark composed this piece and is also the violist.
Hey, Travis.
Yes, Sharon.
There is so much going on in the local art scene it won't fit into our Penrod broadcast. It's spilling over into normal show.
And so we have to keep on talking about what's going on in the arts this weekend and next in that calendar we call.
What do we do?
Now, if you're listening Friday night to the show, of course, Penrod is tomorrow, and we are looking forward to it greatly. We will be on live, in fact, between noon and 4, and then the regular Art of the Matter broadcast
comes on. With that funny little blues boy, Matt Sosi.
That's right, yeah. And he's got the blues stage, and Penrod starts at, 9 or something in the morning at the IMA?
You can get your beer that early.
Yeah, you can. It's a great day. Please come out and visit us as well at the WFYI stage. However, if you are listening on Saturday afternoon, I'm hoping you just had a great day at Penrod.
Absolutely.
There we go.
Put your feet up and enjoy your new art purchases.
There you go.
Meanwhile, we have some things coming up because the world is not over in the arts.
No, it does not
stop. We have lots of things.
What do you got?
The first performance of the season of the Indiana Wind Symphony, professional wind symphony that plays at the Palladium at the Center for the Performing Arts. Pianist Kelleen Strutz was such a hit last year
so
with
good.
Them that she's coming back on September 15th at 7:30. She's going to play the memorable Rhapsody in Blue. Mm. Other things on the program, there's kind of a Gershwin bent selections from Porgy and Bess, Strike Up the Band, Someone to Watch Over Me, and They Can't Take That Away from Me. The performance will also have some works inspired by Gershwin. You know, that Charlie Conrad, he just
That's
goes out
cool.
there and does some challenging things. Donald Grantham's Fantasy Variations on George Gershwin's Prelude No. 2, Joan Tower's Fascinating Ribbons, and John Philip Sousa's Humoresque on Swanee. So all of that going on September 15th, Indiana Wind Symphony, for more
wow.
information.
And Kaylee, just a terrific piano player.
Yeah.
And
quite the showwoman,
yes,
if there is such a word.
Of course. Well, if there isn't, there should be.
That's right.
Hey, the Mud Creek Players are presenting The Trip to Bountiful by Horton Foote, and it is performing this weekend as well as next, and then all the way through September 21st and 22nd, Friday and Saturday nights at 8 p.m., also Sunday matinees at 2:30, and this is at the Mud Creek Players. And it should be just a lot of fun. Great work that they're doing. You can get more information at mudcreekplayers.org.
Easy for you to say.
There you go.
And even though we said, you know, the beer drinking at Penrod starts at 9, that doesn't mean we're doing it ever. Hey, I hope you saved a little energy from this whirlwind weekend, because Indie Jazz Fest starts September 10th, runs through the 16th. And if you heard my interview recently with those Jazz Fest dudes, you know that there's kind of a smooth jazz edition on the 16th. But there is so much going on throughout this this great festival, including some off-the-beaten-path kinds of jazz, and you can find out more at indiejazzfest.net. I challenge you to go to hear a performer you're not familiar with.
And there's a lot of stuff, other festivals going on next weekend as well, including Indy's Irish Fest in its 17th year, starting on Friday, going through Sunday. So the 14th through the 16th down at Military Park on the campus of IUPUI. You can get more information, of course, at indieirishfest.com. But three terrific days of great Irish food and drink and entertainment and Irish dogs too, and sheep herding.
What do they call that kilted run?
Yeah, they do the kilted mile.
The kilted mile. That's it.
It's a quick run in a kilt, and it's up to you what you wear underneath it. Always fun to see Terry Sweeney running in his kilt.
We're on at a family hour, so we won't go too deep under that. sorry. Indiana Artisan, if you're not familiar with this program, but you are an artisan or you know one, listen up. The Indiana Artisan brand includes the works of nearly 250 artisans in 58 Indiana counties. It's in its fifth year, and it's seeking applications. So if you're making artisanal maple syrup or marshmallows or mustard or whatever, go to indianaartisan.org. And also, if you are a visual artist, you can apply to be part of the program. Visual artists are especially encouraged to apply early, and the deadline is October 17th. It sounds far away, but it will be here before you know it. indianaartisan.org. Tell your artisan friends.
Cool. Hey, another play that opened this weekend and continues on through the end of September is the IRT's production of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. See, Sharon, you asked me to do it in two different voices. I was trying.
I love it.
Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
This is the Stephen Dietz adaptation of the story, right?
It is, yeah. And it's kicking off the IRT's 41st season, which is very cool. And, yeah, really, really looking forward to this. I think it's going to just be a terrific production, of course, that the IRT is known for. And we all know the story, you know, that timeless tale of good and evil. But to see it on stage should be a lot of fun. Looking forward to that. Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Actually, you know what? It's adapted by Jeffrey Hatcher.
Another great playwright.
Yes.
Awesome.
There we go. Mm-hmm.
Good deal.
There we go.
Speaking of violence on stage, get the segue. Mm-hmm. In a couple of weeks, Bloody Bloody Andrew Jackson opens on stage over at the Phoenix Theater.
Oh, this sounds great. This is going to be a fun show.
It is a rock musical, a hard rock, hard-driving rock musical.
Andrew Jackson.
About Andrew Jackson. I know. You will come away not only thinking, whoa, who knew, but you'll want to go dig your history books out, go to the library, or go online to find out more about Andrew Jackson and his life and times and the violence and the intrigue. I'm just saying, Bloody Bloody Andrew Jackson at the Phoenix Theater, that's the first show of their 30th anniversary season.
He had a little Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde in him.
I think so.
I'm thinking, that's all I'm thinking. Hey, it is not too late to get tickets to see the Indianapolis City Ballet's Evening with the Stars. It is at Saturday night, 8 p.m. at the Marat Theater, the Old National Center. You will see some of the absolute best ballet dancers from around the world, including some of the premier dancers from American Ballet Theater and New York City Ballet, who are going to be here for this event of the year. And there's some new pieces, too, including a whole Cole Porter suite that they've created just for this evening. That's going to be a lot of fun. And one of the things that's really exciting is with a lot of these dancers from all over the world, you see often sort of different segments of dances that different dancers from different companies will do. But with the Cole Porter, they'll actually be dancing together.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, so that's going to be very exciting to see. Again, 8 p.m. Saturday night, tickets are still available for Indianapolis City Ballet Evening with the Stars.
I wondered why you had your dance shoes on. Hey, speaking of people from all over, I was at the library, where I often am, recently, and picked up a brochure for a cool four-month-long, actually, program the library is doing. It's called Journey Through Eastern Europe. And there are, as they say, programs for everyone. Songs, stories, dance, and a taste of Europe. Yes, there are some events that involve folk mass. There are talks about the origin of vampire beliefs. You can try your hand at a Serbian Selim rug weaving. You can find out about Russian lacquer boxes, folk art toys of the Czech and Slovak republics, and just all sorts of great stuff. Russian folk dancing, gypsy stories, and as they say, much, much more. You can find out more of that by picking up a brochure at any of your library branches, or go online to indiepl.org. Notice that's a new web address, new URL, indiepl for public library.org.
Hey, something cool going on at Connor Prairie next weekend, just to give you a quick heads up about that. Connor Prairie is launching their new STEAM Innovation Fair. STEAM is celebrating science, technology, engineering, the arts, and math, not just STEM, but this is STEAM. And so they're celebrating all of those together through their interactive history park that is just fantastic. But this specific exhibit and celebration is funded by the LDI 100th Anniversary Celebration Cultural Partnership and is going to be presenting exhibits and activities and presentations and performances and demonstrations all about science and innovation. Should be a lot of fun next weekend, 15th and 16th at Connor Prairie.
Love it. If you're into hands-on art, you can put this on your calendar on September 22nd. It's Art Squared. Yes, it's back in Fountain Square. About 4,000 people came last year, so you won't be alone. You'll have lots of new friends there. And when you come to Fountain Square, it's a free art festival with three kinds of events. You can make art and participate in Masterpiece in a Day. You can buy art and support the artists. You can be art by being part of their wacky, twisty parade. So you can find out more about that at discoverfountainsquare.com/artsquared. discoverfountainsquare.com/artsquared. There have been chickens in the parade some years.
Yes.
I'm just saying.
Nothing wrong with that.
That's right.
Something going on Saturday night.
You're thinking about how you could be a chicken in the Art Squared Parade, I can tell.
Something going on Saturday night up in Fishers from 7:30 until 10:30 is the Historic Ambassador House and Heritage Gardens 4th Annual Harvest Wine Tasting. It's Fishers' finest evening with the Historic House and Gardens located in their Heritage Park at the White River. It's a great fundraiser, and of course there's lots of great wine, and so that's going on Saturday night, 7:30, worth checking out.
I love that place, Great Hosta Garden. If you're having a fashion crisis, because, you know, we're moving into a new season, you could do worse than pop over to the IMA, to the Gerald and Dorrit Paul Galleries, to see An American Legacy, Norell, Blass, Halston, and Sprouse, which highlights the achievements of four designers from Indiana. Yeah, very cool. And some of these are really pretty edgy. Sprouse, if you don't know Stephen Sprouse, he was a younger designer, and he costumed, among other people, Debbie Harry for some of the rock videos early on. So, yeah. And there's fashion all the way from the very elegant and conservative to the, well, there's some see-through dresses. I'll just put it out there.
Awesome.
All right.
Okay. Chickens and see-through dresses.
We're only going to get it here, and you're going to get more of it next week on our arts calendar, we call.
What do we do?
You're listening to The Art of the Matter, a weekly show about the arts in Indianapolis and Central Indiana. Your hosts are Sharon Gamble and Travis DiNicola. If your arts organization has an event or activity of which you think we should be aware, please contact us at least 3 weeks in advance. You can write us at The Art of the Matter, care of WFYI, 1630 North Meridian Street, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46202. Or you can email us at artofthematter@wfyi.org. You can also hear The Art of the Matter on wfyi.org.
The Lawrence Art Center's been open for just a little over a year, offering all types of art classes to kids and adults in the Lawrence area. Travis DiNicola sat down with their executive director, Judy Byron, to learn more.
Congratulations on being named executive director of the Lawrence Art Center.
Well, thank you very much. It's great to be here.
Yeah, so this is a relatively new position for you, but you've been involved with the organization kind of since it first got started, right?
More or less.
Tell me a bit about that.
Sure. I came into Partnership for Lawrence about 4 years ago as we were revamping to do some cultural development work in the city of Lawrence, calling ourselves PFL Arts with a
PFL?
PFL Arts with an accent on the arts.
Okay. And so then that has merged into now the Lawrence Art Center.
Well, the Lawrence Art Center is one of our projects, and it is our biggest project.
Okay.
We offer classes to the community of all ages. We've got all kinds of mediums. We have had 30 teaching artists.
Wow.
Right now there are eight working at the Art Center. We have offer everything from ceramics to drawing to project-based classes.
Is it all visual arts or any performing arts as well?
We have some belly dancing classes, so performance arts for sure. And we're also developing a group of poetry folks.
Cool.
With an open mic night. I think our first one is in September, as
awesome.
A matter of fact.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where are you located?
We're located on North Franklin Road, right in the heart of the old city of Lawrence.
Okay.
Just north of Pendleton Pike, south of the railroad tracks.
Okay. And what is that space? I mean, it was because you've sort of taken over a space there, right?
We have. Our partner is the Community Development Corporation, and they have allowed us to use their building that they own on Franklin Road. So we're great to have the partnership. We have studio spaces, four studios rented out to local artists who are also teaching and working in the Art Center.
Okay. And right now, my understanding is, I mean, just within the past year or so, I mean, you've had quite a number of art exhibitions. You've reached about a couple hundred adults and kids with your programs. You're just continuing to grow, right?
We are. We have art exhibitions every second Friday of the month, not to be confused with first Fridays. We have following Fridays.
Okay.
And, yes, so we've had exhibitions. We've had camps for kids. Lots of activity going on. We even have a group called the Art Mob, which is not only artists but art enthusiasts. And our first community project was to put together an art car that we took through the parade, the 4th of July parade in Lawrence. And it now marks our building as a sculpture or signage in front of the building.
So for someone who doesn't live in Lawrence, help me understand this, because it seems like Lawrence is awfully very proud of its sort of identity as a separate place, a separate city. I mean, is that sort of a sense that you get as well, that, you know, people wanted their own art center, people want their own, amenities and activities out there?
Sure. Lawrence is its own city, although we're inside the city limits of Indianapolis as well.
Mm-hmm.
And we have our own fire department, our own police department, our own mayor. But including not only the city of Lawrence and Lawrence Township, but the Northeast Quadrant, really, the Lawrence Art Center serves a huge portion of our artists who don't have a place to be or to exhibit or to take classes.
Who are most of the people that are taking classes at the center?
Everyone and anyone. Our classes are geared to the beginner, and different than other classes offered in the Indianapolis area. You can sign up for just one class. Mm-hmm. You can come in, take an art class, and never come back. But we're pretty sure that you will.
Okay, so that makes it very convenient. You can just come in for one, and you don't have to do a whole semester or anything like that. Your website has a list of all the classes and when they're offered?
Yes, the website, www.lawrenceartcenter.net, mm-hmm. Shows all of our classes that are offered, gives a little bit of information about the upcoming events that we have, our fundraiser events, so we have a lot of fun things going on.
Cool. Tell me about Toast the Arts. What is that?
Toast the Arts is...
Because it sounds fun.
It is fun.
And I'm guessing we're not talking like grilled cheese toast.
Oh, no, no.
No, okay.
No, Toast the Arts is the first event planned by Partnership for Lawrence, and it was a way to go out into the community and toast our artists.
Mm-hmm.
So we bring in one visual artist, one performing artist, one culinary artist, and we're sponsored by Elite Beverage, and we literally nice. Raise our glasses
mm-hmm.
And toast the arts.
Very cool. And when is that coming up? When is the next one of those?
The next one, we just had one, and the next one will be in October at mm-hmm. Triton Brewery, which is at the Fort, Fort Benjamin Harrison, in one of the old fort buildings. Fun place to be.
Cool. Yeah, I wondered if you took advantage of the fort, the park, and everything else out there. Is that
oh, sure. Yeah, we partner with all of the organizations in Lawrence, mm-hmm. including the Fort Harrison Reuse Authority, the Community Development Corporation, the city itself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Neat. So what is the holiday home tour? Because that sounds like something, well, I can sort of guess what it is, but I'm guessing it takes place around the holidays and homes around Lawrence?
That's correct.
Okay.
The holiday home tour is a fundraiser for us, and we have open to the public three homes on Lawton Loop, which is the old officers' quarters at the Fort Benjamin Harrison. These houses are really unique, built at the turn of the century.
Sure.
There are three different houses representing three different officer ranks.
Okay.
And they've all been beautifully remodeled. They'll be decorated for the holidays. There'll be holiday fare, holiday music, all kinds of goodies.
Nice.
So, yeah, tickets will be available soon, $12, and you'll have a great time.
And that's different from the Arctique event?
Arctique is our is another Partnership for Lawrence project.
Okay.
It is an art fair held at the Fort Benjamin Harrison YMCA. Mm-hmm. This will be our fourth year running. We offer 30 artist vendors who have all been juried in.
Okay.
There's food, there's mini art classes, there's a photo booth.
You guys have a lot going on.
We do. We have two stages of entertainment that day. It's a great time.
Nice. Now, Judy, how did you get involved with this? I mean, I know you've been the executive director since the summer, and you've been involved, but what's your background that sort of drew you to want to be a part of an art center?
My background is in architecture,
mm-hmm.
And I had a small business in the building industry doing presentation drawings. So for me, as an artist, a working artist, I was able to make a very good living.
Mm-hmm.
But I saw in my charitable work that there were a lot of artists that were struggling, and so I became an advocate for those artists. And then when I moved to the city of Lawrence and saw that it was sort of a blank slate, it had so much potential for the city, I put those two loves together, the love of helping artists and the love of helping my community. And I've had a lot of support from the community, and we're off and running. I think we're going to have a great time. We're going to do a great thing for our city, and we're going to have a lot of artists getting some awareness, which is important to me.
And you also just recently received a couple major grants that are really going to give some allow for the sustainability, at least for the future, of the Lawrence Arts Center, correct?
That's correct.
Tell me a bit about that.
The first grant is from the Lawrence Community Development Corporation. Not
mm-hmm.
only are they offering us the use of their building, but they've given us a substantial amount of money to help with operation funds, and it's a three-year commitment, so
great.
We're thrilled about that. And then we've also been awarded a project grant from the Arts Council of Indianapolis and the City of Indianapolis.
Nice. Congratulations on that.
Thank you. And
yeah.
That allows us to offer our classes without any material costs. So
okay.
So it's paid for all the materials that are loaded up in our closet and ready to be used.
Is
for
that
the
now? Is that just for the kids' classes or for all the classes?
It's for the classes that we didn't have in our budget mm-hmm. to offer materials. So
okay.
all the classes that would have had a material fee added to them
yeah.
Are now offered at our base rate with
wow.
no material fee.
That's great. That's really terrific.
Yeah, we want everybody to be able to get in and get their hands dirty and make something fun.
Hey, real quick, tell me about some of the artists who are teaching classes there.
Sure. We have our resident artists at the Art Center, Shakita Kirkland and Liza Hyatt. Shakita mm-hmm. is a Heron graduate. Her she graduated in furniture design, but she does a little bit of everything. She teaches a lot of project-based classes for kids and adults. Liza is an art therapist,
mm-hmm.
and she does her art therapy in her studio at the Art Center, but also offers some other classes as well. Amber offers wire sculpture, charcoal drawing, a mat cutting relief class, so very interesting. We have Erin, who teaches bookbinding, paper making, and mixed media. We have Sarah, who offers ceramics classes, Shelley, who offers photography classes, Greg, who offers drawing classes. It's a lot of fun, and one of our newest classes offered by Larry is geared to Boy Scouts of America. So we have another partnership with Boy Scouts of America, and we're offering art classes for those boys who want to earn their art merit badge.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Nice. Well, Judy, a lot of stuff going on at the Lawrence Arts Center. And again, congratulations as you celebrate your one-year anniversary and your new role as executive director. All good stuff going on out there.
Yeah, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Travis DiNicola with the Lawrence Art Center's Executive Director, Judy Byron. For more information about the center, visit lawrenceartcenter.net, lawrenceartcenter.net.
Thanks for joining us today. The music for today's show is courtesy of the Bocelli Wallrap Jazz Orchestra from their Heart and Soul album available through Owl Studios at owlstudios.com.
Please listen to The Art of the Matter again next Friday at 8 and Saturday at 4 when I'll get a preview of the Indianapolis Architects Home Tour.
I'll chat with author Barb Shoup about her new novel.
And I'll find out about a new site-specific piece by composer Nat Evans. Plus, we'll have that calendar of events we call What Do We Do?
So please listen next weekend to The Art of the Matter here on WFYI for your information.
You've been listening to The Art of the Matter, made possible by the ongoing support of listeners like you. The Art of the Matter. Your hosts are Sharon Gamble and Travis DiNicola. Today's Art of the Matter was produced and edited by Travis DiNicola. The Art of the Matter on 90.1 FM, Indianapolis.